First off, just thank you, Pastor, for asking me to come back for part two and not just saying, you're done, get out of here. That was awful. So I appreciate that because, you know, you have the right to do that, and I wouldn't blame you at all. But I'm happy to be here. This is something I enjoy talking about. I think most people were here last week. Jasmine, you missed, right? You weren't here last week. I'll give you a little crash course. You lean to the extroverted side of things. You missed the quiz, so I'll just... Maybe at least a little bit. And that's important because in my household there's a lot of introverts, and we were setting something up, and we were like, this will only work if Jasmine shows up. We're like, we need somebody who will talk. That's how we plan things around here. Last week I give you guys the little quick quiz about, you know, where you fall on the introvert extrovert scale, and the reason that I got into all of this was I think about 2 years ago. It was, I think, in between 2 weeks of camp, and some of the other counselors were talking about this personality test. It's the same one that I mentioned last week, where it's 16personalities.com. And they were talking about the test and the scores that they were getting. And I thought it was kind of odd. I was like, hey, all of these other guys are extroverts. I'm like, what a weird thing. I'm like, for there to be no other introverts. And then it dawned on me that I am at camp. I'm out here with camp counselors, and I'm like, this is not an environment for introverts. And so, it got me wondering, too, because I'm like, all right, well, I'm here, so am I, like, a fraud of an introvert, or am I a fraud of a camp counselor? Because something isn't lining up with what I see with my personality and with what I see with where I have placed myself, which, and, you know, plenty of times I will question why I am at camp. I still do that every year, all the time, but it's where my heart wants to be, and I will get back to that in a little while. But that is something where I ran into that, and I was like, something's not lining up. I'm like, either I'm not really as introverted as I think I am, or I shouldn't be here. I'm like, there's something just doesn't line up. Something quick too with the notes here. I mentioned last week that I didn't like my title, and my wonderful wife told me that afterwards she came up with innies and outies. So here we are in part two of Personality Types and Jesus, also known as innies and outies. So I got into this journey of learning about personality types and learning about, especially about introversion, both because I'm an introvert and also because they don't write books about extroversion. And I got to learn a lot about myself. And there were some things that were obvious where it's like, you know, okay, I don't like to go out into large groups. I don't like to particularly party. Even, you know, in the apostolic sense of things, which is restaurants. That's all that is. You guys will see me at the restaurant fellowships like once or twice a month because I would much rather just, you know, run through a drive-thru. And it's quick and it's quiet. And that's where my personality is. And that's where I kind of live and my core is. So I was doing studies, and it's like, all right, one of the things that scientists have found about introversion is that it is something that you are basically born with, well, you know, where you fall on the introvert extrovert scale. It's something scientists have tested and can predict with a pretty good degree of accuracy whether somebody will be an introvert while they are an infant. And the what it boils down to is how your body reacts to stimulation. And so they were like shining lights on babies or something, and some babies were fine with it, and some babies cried a whole lot. And the babies that cried a whole lot when they got lights shined on them, most of them turned out to be fairly introverted. So if you were an introvert, this is something that you were born with. You're an extrovert. You were born that way. And I would love to say that if you were born an introvert, you now have a card that says, I'm an introvert and I am excused from all extroverted behavior. I'm excused from public speaking. I'm excused from every party and every social gathering. You do not have the right to call me on the phone because I'm an introvert and I have a card that proves it. But I can't do that. and that's something I found in the reading. I was like, all right, well, even though half the population it leans more toward introversion, half the population leans more towards extroversion, we don't always stay where our comfort zone is. And we can't stay where our comfort zone is because by nature, we need to kind of reach both directions. And last week I was talking about some biblical figures that that leaned more into introversion and extroversion. And I, of course, talked about Jesus and about how with what we see of Jesus, he might be an extrovert who does a lot of introverted things and seems comfortable with them, or he might be an introvert and does a lot of extroverted things and seems comfortable with them. And he does it so seamlessly and so perfectly that is our ultimate goal. That is our example to live for.
That's true.
But you know, we're always trying to strive to be like Jesus, and that is always a tall order because he is perfect. But I mentioned two biblical figures. I'm not going to find them in my notes. The first of which was Moses, and I talked about how Moses he was an introverted person. He was raised in the palace, but you never hear much about him like enjoying the spotlight or anything like that. Because he could have had the spotlight if he wanted it, but he didn't. And then when he ran out of Egypt, he was out in the middle of nowhere being a shepherd, and he seemed like he was pretty cool with that and just out there watching the sheep, not much more going on. And when God called him, he's like, God, I think you're looking for somebody else. And you're like, you want me to go talk to Pharaoh, but I'm not good at that. That's, you see my introvert card? I'm excused from talking to kings. But God wasn't having it. And so, you know, Moses had to learn and adapt. And even though Moses' strong suit was his introversion, and I mentioned last week that when he led through introversion. He led by spending time with God. Moses did stuff. You know, he went to Pharaoh and he was loud and he told him to let his people go. But what made Moses stand out was the time he spent on the mountaintop, was the times that he spent in the presence of God, where, you know, he got out and his face would just shine from spending time with God. And that was his strength. But he couldn't have done what he did. He couldn't have led Israel out of Egypt without, you know, stepping up to the microphone, stepping up to the king, saying, hey, this needs to end. I need to take these people out of here. You need to let them go. And that is not an easy thing. And, I mean, I would think even for an extrovert, they would have some reservations about that conversation. But he did it. He stepped out of his comfort zone, and It was miraculous and it was wonderful, and he was a great leader because of it. And the other example that I have in the Bible, I talked about Peter, And Peter is very extroverted, and we see that because part of being an extrovert is occasionally speaking before you think, which can be a problem. I don't think that we saw any of the other apostles get rebuked by Jesus, or at least not as much as Peter. Peter had a tendency just to open his mouth and shove his foot right in there. But like I said, he also, because he was the first to speak, he was the one that when Jesus asked what the disciples thought of him, he was like, "You're the Christ." He just threw it right out there. And then on the day of Pentecost, when the people were like, "Hey, what's going on here?" Some of the other apostles might have been introverted, and they're like, "Oh, well, let me write some things up. Let me grab some Old Testament and grab a couple scriptures to give you." And Peter just runs up, and he's like, he just starts preaching. I got distracted thinking about this is that with the youth congress. Sorry, I got youth congress on my mind. But yeah, you know, Peter runs out there and was like, "This is that." And he starts preaching to the people, and he didn't have preparation time. He didn't look up any scriptures before he got up there. He didn't write down some notes. And that's a very extroverted thing. He just got up there and he just started preaching. And, you know, I mean, he's full of the Holy Ghost and God was giving him words and everything. But because of his personality type, that was natural for him. And he was naturally able to do that. But then in Acts, we read a little bit later that he has to do something outside of his comfort zone. Because anytime you see Peter, you see Peter with the other apostles. You see Peter and Paul. Later on, you see Peter and someone else. I don't remember. But you always see Peter with somebody else. But then in Acts chapter 10, we find Peter all by himself. And the only time where you see him doing something kind of introverted, he is up on a rooftop and he is meditating, he is praying, and he's all by himself. And at that moment, God brings him into another level. That is when God spoke to him to allow him to be the bridge to... Thank God for two mics.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for two mics. because this extrovert Peter, he took the time out and he did something outside of his comfort zone. He was like, I don't know, maybe God was dealing with him. It was like, "Hey, you're always running around with other people. You're always going from event to event. You need to stop. You need to slow down and get some quiet time because I have a special assignment for you." And he got in there and God spoke to him, gave him some kind of weird visions. But then he used that to bring him over to Cornelius's house and to preach to the Gentiles. And that's probably one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts, because without that, I wouldn't be here. That opened up salvation for each and every one of us. And it was because somebody stepped out of where they are comfortable. And so we see this in our own everyday lives as well. The book that I read, probably the first book that I read about introversion, which was the book Quiet, there's a story in there about a teacher. He was a professor at some university, and he was everybody's favorite teacher. He always had the class laughing. Everybody liked him. Everybody wanted to be in his class. And he seemed like just the perfect extrovert. Just, you know, he was just enjoyable to everybody. He would talk to all the kids. Everybody loved him. But he wasn't an extrovert. He was actually an introvert. When he wasn't teaching, he was home. He had like a cabin in the woods away from everybody, just like him and his wife. And he's just at home on a chair reading a book. And he would say that even in class, you know, he loved teaching. He loved his kids. And so he was out there and he was doing what he loved. And so it was natural to him. But even like if he had a full day of teaching, he might teach a class or two and then like go into the bathroom and just hide in the bathroom for a while, and just recharge as an introvert, because that's how it is with introversion, where like you need that quiet time. It's not like a preference as much as it is like a need. And so you can do these things. You can step out, and you can, even as an introvert, act all crazy like an extrovert and do whatever you need to do, and then like step back into your core and recharge, and you know that you really are who you think you are inside. And the same thing with an extrovert. You know, while you enjoy spending time with other people, while you enjoy just getting into large gatherings or just meeting people on the street, things like that, you can step away from all of that and come into a quiet place and spend some time in reading, spend some time with studying God's word, spend some time in prayer. And I think that everybody in this room can agree these are things that we need to do. Even if it is difficult, even if it is something that, you know, we don't necessarily want to do because of our core personality. And so these are the kind of things that I was learning. And so back to my story at the beginning, where I was at camp and I was like, what is the deal? Am I a fraud of an introvert, or am I a fraud of a youth counselor? And it took a while, but I realized that it's neither. Like, I really am an introvert. You know, I really would much rather not be up here speaking. But when my heart is in something, I will be glad to pour myself out for it, because that's where my heart is. So when I go to camp, it can be trying, because you know there's 300 kids there, and it is like nonstop. You know, once the kids are quiet, you can just kind of fall down on your bed and pass out, and the alarm goes off a moment later, and you're like, all right, let's do it again. But because I believe in it, because you know I get to see I see what God does in the lives of these kids, it makes it worthwhile for me to be uncomfortable for a week or two. Because and I know, I'm like, afterwards, like I'm gonna be quiet. I'm probably not even gonna talk on the ride home from camp. I'm gonna be quiet. And even at camp, when, you know, I talk about the kids finally being quiet and just passing out, but usually I will take an extra half an hour. I will give up a little bit of sleep just to bask in the quietness, because it is so few and far between. But it's something where when my heart is in it, I can do it. And that's the way it is, even just being up here and speaking. I've got up and taught on a few different things before, and you know, I won't come up and talk about something that I don't believe in. So it makes it okay to do it. I, you know, still not where I want to be. I'd much rather be in the seat listening to someone talk. But it's something I can do because I believe in it. But also, I know where my core strengths are because of the personality. And so as an introvert, while I'm not comfortable with this part here, before I got here, I was home in my office. It was all nice and quiet. I have, you know, computer, I have prayer, I just get all my studying in, get the writing in, and I'm writing this all up, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, if this was a blog post, I could just be like, click, and I'm done, and I'm never outside of my comfort zone, and everything would just be wonderful. But you know, that is not what God has called me to do, and that is not what my pastor is asking me to do. So I do the part that I am good at, the part that I am comfortable with, because that's where my strength is. But then, in order to to be what God wants me to be, I have to not only work in my strength, but just to come out from where I'm comfortable and speak to all of you lovely people and have my voice amplified louder than I want it to be and just put myself out there and you know, look like an extrovert for a minute, and then I can come back to you know, where I feel like I belong in my heart and go back to being quiet. And I mean, that, you know, that's just me, but for all of us, we all live in that same thing. You know, I got to hear some of the answers when you guys took the test, and it does work out about right where, you know, almost half of everybody is an extrovert and half of everybody is an introvert. There's some people that fall kind of in the middle there. And, you know, if you're in the middle, I hope that you get the best of both worlds and not the worst of both worlds. I don't know. But for all of us, I mean, if you are really extroverted, then, yeah, it'll be easy for you to go and meet new people. It'll be easy for you to, you know, get into crowds and talk to people and things like that. But unless you step back and you get into a quiet place where you can get a hold of God and you can get into God's word and, you know, study out God's word for yourself, it'll be difficult for you to teach a Bible study if you don't get alone and study it yourself. In the same way with introverts, like, yeah, you can study the Bible all day long. You can write out 50 different Bible studies on your own, but unless you step out, unless you actually meet somebody, unless you actually you know, agree to do something as terrifying as sitting down with somebody that you might not know completely and teach a Bible study, then, you know, what good is all that studying doing if you're keeping it to yourself? And like I said, we see this so beautifully in Jesus because he would go. Even my wife and I, we were talking about it, about what Jesus was in the days of his flesh. Was he an introvert? Was he an extrovert? Because, you know, we see him over here and he's like, he's in crowds and like he's sitting down with strangers and not even like not his friends, but like just horrible people that he came here to save. And he's in the midst of all of this, and then he sends everybody away and just up on a mountaintop, just praying all by himself, or in the garden, praying by himself, where even, you know, he took his closest friends and he's like, all right, wait here, but I need to go. This needs to be all by myself. This needs to be something just me here. And so he walked so perfectly between those worlds, and that is where we need to be. And I know it's uncomfortable. I'm learning to walk in that discomfort. I'm learning to stretch myself because I know that, like, if my heart is in camp and I say, well, I'm not going to do it because it's not really comfortable for me, then I'm going to be missing out, and the kids are going to be missing out, because if I don't go, then they do only have extroverted counselors. And if they only have extroverted counselors, then the introverted kids might look around and say, hey, I don't really belong here. So whether you're an introvert, whether you're an extrovert, whether you fall somewhere in the middle, God has a plan for you. The Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully created. And like I said, when you were created, you had this personality trait, the same personality trait that you have now. It is a core feature of who you are. And so it won't change. So it's so important to, you know, to know what you are. Like I said, like, since I am introverted, I know I can get in, I can study, I can write things, and that is great. But unless I step out and share that, it's not doing anyone any good. And
Oh, I do have a scripture. Don't worry, I know I'm actually speaking in a church here, and I have a scripture. I wanted to touch on one thing where Paul was talking, pretty similar to this, and it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 and 22, or 20 through 22. And Paul says here, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak." And I want to throw in a thought here. You guys, most of you have probably read about Paul. Paul talked about some of the hardships that he went through, where he was beaten many, many times, where he was shipwrecked, where, you know, he went around, he did some hard things. When he said, to the weak became I as weak, I don't think Paul stayed weak. This was a temporary thing that he is talking about here. This was not him, "Oh, my core is now weakness." He's like, "I'm going to come over here, not because I am weak, but I'm to become as weak, to be out of my core area, to reach those that need me to be that way for them." He said, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And that is what we need to do. We know where our core is. We know where our strengths are, whether it is with talking to people and making new friends, or whether it is with studying and just learning about things. And we know where our strengths are, but in order to be fully used by God, we need to step out of those things. We need to stretch to become all of what God wants us to do. And then in closing, when I was working on this, God gave me a scripture that I didn't know that it was going to fit. And it's in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." If I leaned on my own understanding, I would say, like, this isn't for me. Coming up and speaking, it's not for me. I know last week, my wife spake, and it is not something that she would want to do in her core. If she just leaned on her own understanding instead of doing what God wanted her to do and what her pastor asked her to do, then she would not have come up here. She was not, back there like, "Oh, pastor, let me preach." That was never going to happen. But she trusted God. And she leaned into God instead of onto her own personality, her own core personality. And because of that, God was able to use her. And the same thing applies with each and every one of us. We know where we are in our heart, but it's not about us. It is about God. So we don't trust in our own selves, but we trust in God. We lean into God. And sometimes when he directs your path, it will not be where you are comfortable. But when we lean into him, he will use us, and it always works out for the best.
You want to open it to questions?
Isn't this wonderful, the way that he's helped us to understand? And then, of course, Brother Scott being, one of our biggest points that we make is that we want people to speak out of their authenticity. And so he is talking out of his authenticity. I thought of a scripture, and coming back tonight to have just a little more time to explain this, I think has been extremely helpful to us. But this is the scripture I thought of. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. See, I'm not just a human being. I'm a human becoming. See, when I say I'm a human being, it sounds so static, like I've arrived at a certain plane and a certain point, and that's what I am. But he gives us power to become. Becoming power. And so there's another edition of us that's supposed to come out tomorrow. And then there will be another edition of us that will come out on Friday, you see, each day. So he's called us. And I appreciate these scriptures where Paul talks about, I am made all things. I work with myself, and I want to reach everybody. And so I have to humble my personhood, as it were, and submit myself so that I can be that flexible. You know, one of the most difficult things that happens to us when we get older is we lose our flexibility and our physicality. Anybody ever, can I relate to this? I jump up off the love seat, you know, where my iPad is and my energy drink and my pillow and my earplugs. And I'm not walking stiff, you know. It's like, whoa, Jack, I thought I was 29. Whoa, man, I feel like 129, you know. Whoa, where did all that, you know. So, you know, losing... And the deal is, just as in our physicality, we can experience that. We can also experience that in our hearts, and that with older we get, like, you know, well, I'm a little old, you know, to change now. You can't teach a new dog or an old dog new tricks, but, you know, like they said to Billy Sunday, Billy, you rubbed the fur the wrong way. And he said, let the cat turn around. Just let the cat turn around, all right? And then the fur won't be rubbed the wrong way. So I thought it would be... So, thank you, Billy Sunday. So this was so... And I love Scott's humor. It catches you by surprise and takes you hostage. It's awesome. But he's in authenticity. He's a perfect guy to talk about this. And this 2 weeks at camp, I mean, it's a wonder he doesn't come back and his hair the color of mine, you know, dark gray, right? That's supposed to be humor. Like the snows of the Mount Lebanon, or, you know, the snows of Mount Horeb, you know. I mean, he's still got dark hair. The grace of God is on this man, you know, 2 weeks at camp surrounded by hundreds of young people. And his nervous system, as far as I know, is still intact. So, woo, man, this is helpful. And, you know, God is wanting to use this. And he really, I believe, wants to develop a versatility in us. Because too many times, you know, the reason why I think that Samson fell, one of the biggest reasons, he was strong in only one way. He was very one-dimensional. He was strong physically. There was something that God had gifted him with. He had that physical strength, but he wasn't strong in character. He wasn't strong in deep and pure in his attitude. He wasn't strong in his moral life. He had strength in only one direction, and so it was easy for the enemy to trip him up and to figure out a way to do him in, because it was simple. He had a simple strength in one direction. As we grow and develop directions, you know, and grow in directions, you might surprise yourself. You might end up with a ministry you never thought you'd ever have. Let's open it up for a few questions, maybe somebody that has. I think this spoke to more people than even want to admit. I know it speaks to me, because I have the strong pull of both the introvert and the extrovert. I really do. And it really, they worked in tandem. That's why I want that solitude and that time in prayer. And yet I love to hang out with people like Jasmine. And I don't have to talk much. I just say hi and, you know, let Jasmine do her awesome thing. We're teasing her. But we need some folks like that around us to help the rest of us break out of that comfort zone. You know, folks that are just so natural. Amen. All right. Any questions that have come to you that you have about this? I'd like to maybe ask Brother Scott, what else can I do? What else can we do? Say we're sitting here and say we're, a consecrated introvert. What else can we do, do you think of some, what things do you do? What things have you done, Scott? Like maybe talk to yourself about stepping out and taking that ministry opportunity or, to get us to where we can stretch.
What things do I do personally?
What could we do? Like somebody sitting here thinking, I'm an introvert and I'm so introverted, there's nobody like me in this room and I'm hopelessly introverted.
Bob just raised his hand. He said, that's me. So for me personally, my biggest issue is just meeting people and speaking with people. Actually, not even meeting people, because I can meet somebody because I have a purpose. I can just, hi, I'm Scott Sievert.
Yes, sir.
Good to meet you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm done at that point. My problem is everything right after meeting somebody, anything beyond that. So I've tried to make a conscious effort to ask people more questions.
Conscious effort.
Yeah, because it doesn't happen on its own. and so that's what I will do. At camp, I try to, because I'm an introvert and I don't necessarily fit into any of the conversations that are happening around me, I will float around and just try to talk to a couple kids here and there, because I'm perfectly comfortable going a whole meal without talking to anybody. I will just go and I will eat my food and I will watch people and I will listen to things, but I'm comfortable with... I'm perfectly comfortable staying silent, but I will go and I'll go over to different tables where kids are sitting. I'll ask them how their day is, what they're enjoying about camp, things like that, and just make myself talk to kids, because I know that I need to stretch some, and that kids like it when grown-ups talk to them sometimes. What I would say is to grow, find something that that you are weak in, and make a conscious effort to work at it. If you're weak in talking to people, then just even go online, look up some questions that you can ask people, or read a book about it or something, which is a great answer for introverted people, is read a book about it, because... Because you will do it.
Give us the name of that book again. Is it Susan Cain?
Yeah, Susan Cain is the author. The book is called Quiet. And she has a book for kids and teenagers as well, which has a longer name. I don't remember what it is.
Does she also have a TED Talk?
She also has a TED Talk.
Anybody like TED Talks?
Yep. I was going to tell you, you just play the TED Talk and skip me altogether.
Sister Gwen has a...
Okay. For the sake of the recording, the question is, as an extrovert, how do you get into a conversation with an introvert without so much invading their space or getting on their nerves or whatever? That's how I perceive that from an introvert. I may have... That's all the recording hears, anyways. So what I would say, because I know that as an introvert, the worst thing in the world is small talk. So as an extrovert, breaking the ice with an introvert and being able to talk to them, you have to move through the small talk phase very quickly. And what I would recommend is find something that they care about. So if you see them and, if they have kids, you can ask them about their kids, because they probably care about their kids. That's usually an easy thing.
you can ask them about their job. Like, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, tell me about that. And even like me, I can talk about my job a little bit, or I can talk more so about my unpaid job, which is youth ministry, because I like that more. And that is something where if it is something that they, if it is something that the introverts are passionate about or something that they care about, then they are more willing to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the weather, and they don't want to talk about you know, little things like that, because it doesn't have any depth to it. That is generally what introverts want, is a deeper conversation and not the shallow conversation that doesn't account for much. Did that answer the question? Wonderful.
Very good.
Yes. So the question is, we know that introverts have a hard time stepping out to do extroverted things, but do extroverts have a hard time stepping out to do introverted things, or I guess maybe stepping in to do introverted things? And yes, they definitely do. By show of hands, who are the extroverts in the crowd? The other ones. You extroverts, how long has it been since you read a book to completion?
Oh, that's so hard.
So much pain throughout the congregation here. Yeah, so yeah, that is a great classic example of a very introverted thing that for extroverts that makes them crazy. Like, how can you just sit there and just like stare at paper? And there's really like how do you be in a group and read a book? It won't work out. And so this is something where, you know, you have to make a conscious effort. You can say, all right, I'm gonna read for 20 minutes, and you know, it might take you a year to get through a book. But you, when somebody says, hey, what's the last book that you read? You can say, oh, I just finished this one. You know, you don't have to tell them when you started it, but.
Act 49, I read chapter 1.
Brother Bob.
Right. So he sent you guys out to reach out and touch people that were sort of like ingrown. And he called them zeros, which is an interesting term. Certainly not a zero to God, and probably though in their thinking they felt like, man, I don't really matter. And now some of those, yeah, that's what I want happening in our church, Brother Bob, not just you, but all of us. Like, I had an amazing conversation with this young lady over here just about a week ago, just eating across from her, and I always enjoy her when I'm around Sister Stacy. But we just, at a certain point there, we felt the Holy Ghost, I think, touch us, didn't we? I was talking about how we want to love people and bless people and help people and really be a place where people are loved and encouraged. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord's on us, you know what I mean? It just seemed like, whoa, wait a minute. I got tears filling my eyes. And the Spirit of the Lord I saw touched across the table. Just that's one of the reasons why I like what we do after service, because sometimes it's hard to transport or to give this importance, you know, to people completely like you want to in a service. So after service, even hanging out, we're encouraging fellowship in the parking lot. You don't even have to buy tickets. You know, hang out with us. Just hang out and have fun. Everybody needs that sense that they belong. And there's something I like that's beautiful, Bob. And, of course, now we know why Brother Jordan is such an amazing bishop and has been such an awesome superintendent.
So, for the sake of the recording, you used to be very extroverted and very bubbly. And through the course of life happening, you've put up walls, and you are much less so, to the point that that you act very introverted at this stage in your life. I haven't heard that specifically, but I have heard the exact opposite of that, because our society is a very extroverted society. We promote and we lift up people who are classic extroverts. And because of that, going through school, if you are an introvert, you will feel like a zero, as Brother Bob said. And because of that, and because of the way society is set up, you will be treated like a zero sometimes, unless you force yourself to become an extrovert. And so what we have a lot of times is people in their adult lives who act like an extrovert all the time, but in their core, they are an introvert. So kind of the flip of what you're seeing here. And I would say, you know, do your best to find comfortable extroverted things, because if that is where your core is, then being in those situations, you will feel more alive. You will feel more joy. You know, even it just safe situations where you're, you know, hanging out with the church and fellowships, doing things like that, the youth parties and different things that are happening. I imagine that those type of things, those will help to, you know, let you feel that joy that is connecting with your inner core. But because you're in a place where you are able to grow as an introvert as well, I think this is a great time, you know, to become more rounded as well, where you can spend some time with introspection and spend some time, you know, doing deeper things and, you know, reading more, but also, you know, get out there and have those times when you are with other people. And with the flip side of that, if there's anybody that was squeezed into an extrovert mold over the years, then the same thing, only backwards. If you are deep down an introvert, but you are trying to live an extroverted life, which is actually what was happening with Susan Cain, then you can realize that it's okay to be an introvert, that you are not actually a zero, even if nobody is going to put you up on a pedestal for reading a book. That it is okay to spend time alone and to read or to do whatever to get that alone time that you need.
Can you tell that he's walked in this business a while? Because when he responds to your questions, he has some amazing, of course, we're hearing absolutely fabulous questions, but we're hearing also some tremendous insights, and he's talking out of his authenticity. Were there any other? Come over here, Brother Aaron. He puts us, how did you say it, Aaron? I want to put this on the recording. He puts us in situations. He has the audacity. It's because he's the creator. He puts us in situations.
Yes. I love the way that you said it. He puts us in situations that are opposite of who we are, so that his grace and his ability are what bring us through, and he gets glory out of it. And we grow in the process, absolutely.
Praise God. Well, let's do this in wrapping this up. Hasn't this been, like, amazing? Your questions have been just fabulous, and great comments and sharing from everybody tonight. And I really appreciate Brother Scott being flexible, because this is not what an introvert does. So he reached outside the boundaries of his core to help us. But I think it'd be awesome for him to lead us in a prayer that God would give us confidence and faith in his grace and strength to become, as it were, more like Paul, he was reading there in 1 Corinthians 9. If you can intentionally, just like he says, you make yourself, you can expand your personhood, the boundaries of your personhood, if you want to. And if we do that, we're going to be able to touch and witness and affect and persuade people of all ages and rank and file, just, you know, professionals, kids, praise God. I love the blessing and the challenge of that. Why don't we have him pray for us? Would you lift your hands and let's let him pray a special prayer.
Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your touch upon each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for making us perfectly in your image, Lord, making us just how you want us to be. And Lord, I ask that you would give us the confidence, Lord, give us the boldness to step out of our comfort zone, to step beyond what our core personality is, to become more of what you desire for us to be. Jesus, I ask that you would help us to become all things to all men so that we can reach this world, Lord, so that we can accomplish what you have desired for us to accomplish. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to be flexible, Jesus. Help us to stretch in the ways that you want us to stretch, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for the strengths that you have given each of us. Thank you, Lord, for the abilities that you have put in each of us, Lord, in our natural selves. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to step above and beyond what you have gifted us with in our own selves, Lord, to step into more of what you have, Lord, and to lean into you for the miraculous. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for your touch upon each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you for helping us to grow and to stretch and to become more like you. Lord, there is no one like you, and I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.